am I thinking? Father, we thank you today for what you're doing in this town, in the surrounding district. Father, we pray for every church and for every minister. Lord, we pray, Lord, you would encourage their heart. You would strengthen them. You'd strengthen the team around each minister, Lord. You'd strengthen, Lord, the team in each church, Father, Lord, that we're going to make a difference in this town, Lord, that we're going to actually be able, Lord, to break down the barriers, Lord, and be able, Lord, to unite together and to work together and to flow together, Lord, and to see, Father, Lord, people touched and people changed. Lord, we are praying, Father, for your will and your purpose, Lord, just to come, Lord, and to flow, Father, in and through our churches and to the leadership of the churches. Lord, we ask, Father, Lord, that you would just strengthen, Father, Lord, everyone who labors in the work. And Father, we just speak life and salvation over our towns, over our streets, over our workplaces, over the businesses, Father. Over the people that we meet, Father, we just ask that you would actually, Lord, grace us with the ability to minister, Father, Lord, your will and your purpose, Father, to actually speak, Father, Lord, whether we know it or not, prophetically into their hearts, Lord, and speak, Lord, to areas, Lord, that they're looking for the answers in. In Jesus' name, we pray. So here we are, Am I Sinking is the name. Am I Sinking? You know, sometimes we think we're coping in life, but I'm not sure we are. And so we know this passage of Scripture. Some of us know it quite well. It's in Matthew chapter 14 and it starts in verse 22. It says, immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake while he sent the people away. And after sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray, and night fell while he was there alone. You know, sometimes we just got to get alone with God and pray. It's like, well, I've been busy all day ministering to people all day. I just want some time for myself. And it's just like, no, actually, you need some time with God because you need to be strengthened and refreshed. Living in revival is actually about encouraging and finding the strength and the ability to go on the next day and the next day and the next day. You know, I don't have too many people that come and pray for me. I don't have too many people that come and minister into my life. So I have to stay filled and I have to stay refreshed and I have to overcome. Got a bit short with someone yesterday. I hadn't been to golf for a while. I sacrificed a whole lot of things, put myself out of a whole lot of tournaments that one day I want to win, but haven't been able to do that for a long time. Anyway, and I had a few things going on yesterday and then a few things in my mind. I had a few texts and emails, different things I was processing through, and I'm trying to get all this stuff, and I'm trying to get down because I think I just need a day off and have a game of golf. So I get down there and it's still about a quarter of an hour, and this guy starts mouthing off at me that I should have been there, you know, about 10 minutes early and whatever, and da-da-da, and I should be ringing and da-da-da. And I just looked at him and his name was Steve. And I said, Steve, it'd be really good for you to shut your mouth about now. And I said, now, can you put my name down? And I shut out the thing and he was stunned. He was stunned because I meant you need to shut your mouth about now because I can't be bothered with your nonsense and your uppity and all your stuff, you know. Now, the thing is, you see, I'm taking over everything at the golf club. That's going to be my job. At the moment, I'm vice captain, you see, but I'm supposed to be captain, but I said I can't because I've got all these things I'm going to be doing, and I said, I'm not going to be here. I'm not going to be here much in the future, so I think I'm going to have to run the golf club from the phone. That's what I think I'm going to have to do. It's going to be interesting, I'm telling you. You know, last time I was up here, I was stressing about some things, and if you asked me what's going on, my back was itchy, so I knew, you know, just dealing with some things. I was actually talking with Lance afterwards, you know, we're just talking about some stuff. And I said, actually, I know what's annoying me. It's like, I've got to take over this golf club and do the running. It's just the captain, and you've got to make all the decisions, you've got to run all the tournaments and different stuff, do all the prizes each week and da-da-da and all that stuff. You know, deal with everybody's nonsense. And so the thing is, I haven't got the time to do this. I just genuinely haven't got the time for it. I just want to go and play golf and unwind. That's what I want to do. And so, anyway, I said, yes, anyway, I felt the Lord saying, well, you actually need to do this. You actually need to do this. And so, and when I come to that place and I heard that, it actually, a lot of the stress fell off. But anyway, yesterday I had enough. It's just like, mate, if you knew what I was thinking and going through now, it's just like, I'm just glad to be here, and it's like I don't need to listen to your stuff. And so he forgot to put his name up, and then he finally got to put his name up, and then he realized that everybody, all the things were full, and he was just there by himself. And so he's having a fit, and he's throwing a tantrum outside, and just saying, and he said, I might as well just go home. And people says, you know, da da da, and he threw his toys out of the cot. He'd really threw it. And I'm sitting here thinking, I've done this to this guy. You say, I'm thinking, I actually need to apologize to him, but I never got to him because he shot away, come back in early and he was gone. And so I won't see him next week and maybe the week after. But I probably need to apologize just because I threw, he threw a fit. And people come to me and said, oh, isn't that funny how some people, and they throw a fit and they throw the toys out of the cot and whatever. And it's like you can't speak any sense to them. They're just going to be all stupid and whatever. And they're saying this out loud and this guy's hearing it all. I'm thinking, yeah, this is good, actually, I said to myself. I come home, I said to my wife, I told someone off at golf today, and I actually think it was a good thing. You know, people get uppity. And there's a lot of people that are around in certain parts of, you know, that have been in an area since the world begun. And you go to their grandfather and their great-grandfather and whatever, and they think they own things, and they think, you know, they can say whatever and whatever. And it's just like, it so grots me. You know, I get this wee irritating thing. In fact, I'll say this to you, you know, when I'm irritated in my spirit around people, it's because I'm dealing with something controlling. So I automatically know I'm dealing with something controlling, you see. And so you don't have to scratch very much. People seem very pleasant until you touch their infrastructure, you know. And then next minute, it's amazing what comes out of the woodwork. So it's going to be an interesting time for me. Anyway, so we get back to verse 24. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble. They're in trouble while Jesus is away praying alone. We were actually talking about, you know, we've got to keep ourselves refreshed and filled, you know, and so that we can go on. But here they are, they're in trouble far away from land. For a strong wind had risen and they were fighting heavy waves. And about 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them walking on the water. And when the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified in their fear and they cried out, "It's a ghost." But Jesus spoke to them at once saying, "Don't be afraid," he said. "Take courage. I am here." Then Peter called to him, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water." "Yes, come," Jesus said. So Peter went out of the side of the boat and walked on the water towards Jesus. And when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and he began to sink. Time's about up. One day I'll just get up and preach my message. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. "You have so little faith," Jesus said, "why did you doubt me?" And when they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. This is quite a familiar story for a lot of you. But this morning I want to focus on 2 points. One is, how do we respond when we are in trouble? How do we respond when we are in trouble? The disciples were in trouble. We all face difficult circumstances. We all have troubling times. We always have issues going on in our life, you know. I mean, there's always financial things. There's always relationship things. There's always work problems. There's always stuff that's mounting. Family problems. Man, don't we love family? Number two, what causes us to sink? That's the second point I want to talk about. What causes us to sink? Because Peter started to sink. And are we sinking this morning? Are we sinking? So number one, how do we respond when we are in trouble? Peter said, "If it is you, Lord, bid me to come." This is Peter's response to getting out of trouble. Why would Peter say that? Why would Peter want to get out of the boat? Verse 24 says, "Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far from land, for a strong wind had risen, and they were fighting heavy waves," where they were battling. They were trying to overcome. It's like, we can't beat this thing. We need to get out of this trouble. So they were fighting and they were battling. Peter was in trouble and he was fighting and battling his circumstances. We can all relate to this. Battling. From one wave to the next, from one storm to the next, from one situation from the next, from one circumstance to the next, battling, trying to overcome. It's this, now it's this, now it's this. It's like, man, give me a break. We try hard to get on top of our circumstances. Peter wanted out of the circumstances he was in. So when Jesus presented himself, he said, "Don't be afraid, take courage, I am here." Peter leapt at the chance. He wanted to run to his Savior. Yes, he felt safe with Jesus. The only thing was, Jesus wasn't in the boat. Jesus wasn't in the boat. It meant stepping out of the boat. Sometimes Jesus is in the boat. We'll talk about that in a minute. But it didn't matter because Peter knew Jesus was the answer. As long as Jesus was the focus, Peter felt safe. There's a lot of people, and we can all slip into this from time to time, who know that Jesus is the answer to their life and their circumstances, but we don't want to get out of our boat. We don't want to get out of our boat. Jesus says to me one day, he says, reading the Word of God, God just spoke to me really clearly. And it was just a passage of Scripture that Jesus called James and John and whatever, the sons of Zebedee and Peter and whatever. And it says, leave your father and your boat and follow me. And I've told some of you this story before, but it's okay to leave Dad. I was in a partnership. But the boat, that's a big thing. The boat is your security, it's your finance, it's your job. I was farming. I bought my uncle's side of the farm. And it's like, you know, I used to say to Nicky, you don't have to worry about taking life insurance and whatever. If I die, sell the farm. It's just like, there's a lot of things. We might laugh at that, but that's a huge security. You've got this huge backstop. You've got this big thing to fall back on. But when that's gone, and you burn all the bridges and everything that happened, and you know, it's like that changes things. It's like, yeah, okay, I can leave the partnership, but leaving the boat, that's another thing. Here, God's saying, step out of the boat, which is a wee bit the same. It's like, yeah, well, I'm in control while I'm in my boat because, you know, I have the structure around me. I have the finance around me. I have the knowledge and the understanding of what I'm doing. I know how to work this thing. But it's like, and you're asking me to step out of that. Sometimes Jesus is in the boat. And we can read a story about Jesus being in the boat in the storm. And in those times, we have to learn to trust him, and he's not worried. He's asleep in the back of the boat, actually. Sometimes Jesus is in the boat with us, and we just got to find him and find the comfort and the security that Jesus knows what's going on. He's in control. He's not worried, so we don't have to be worried. We just need to ride it out with him and trust him. But sometimes Jesus is outside of the boat, like what we're reading. And then he says, you know, be calm. It's all right. Don't be afraid. I am here. It's okay. But I'm outside of the boat. And his response is, come to me. Come to me. And we want Jesus, just like Peter. Why did Peter? It's just like, if that's really you, Lord. You see, in moments like, in circumstances that aren't favorable and troubles, and sometimes we say, Lord, if you do what I ask, if you answer my prayer, I'll do whatever you want me. It's like, if you do this, Lord, I'll do this. And we can make some pretty out there statements sometimes when we're going through some hard times. It's like, where are you, God, in the midst of all of this? It's like, Lord, if you can solve this for me, I'll do anything for you. Anything you ask, I'll do you. Sometimes we can get desperate enough to say things like that. And Peter said, man, if that's really you, God, it's like, you tell me to come and I'll be out there. And Jesus says, come, because I'm not in the boat, I'm out the boat. In another passage of Scripture, it talks about Jesus was actually going to walk past them. He was walking on the water there, and it says, you know, he was going to go past them. If they hadn't called out, he would have just carried on. Sometimes he can pass us, we can be in a storm, and we don't even call out to him. He'll pass us by if we don't call out. So Jesus is not in the boat. He can be in the boat. This time he's not in the boat. Which means, if we want him to help, if we're going to respond to him, we're going to have to get out of the boat. And he says, take courage, I'm here. And I thought about this. It's like before Peter said anything irrational, Before he said, if that's really you, Lord, call me, Jesus says these things, take courage. What does that mean to you today? If God was to say to you, take courage, I'm here. What do you want courage for this morning? He's actually saying to Peter, take courage. Take courage, which means man up, woman up, lady up. I don't know. Just take courage. Take courage, I'm here. It's like, I'm here, so you need to take some courage here now. Take some courage. What for? We don't take courage for nothing. We take courage because we're actually going to do something different. We're going to do something radical. We're going to do something that we're not confident in. We're going to do something that we've been fearful to do before. We're going to do something that we're not confident about doing. It takes courage. And so Jesus says, take courage because I'm here. So I'm here, so put your courage in me. Take courage. That's what he said. And so an automatic response came out of Peter. It's like, well, if that's really you then, Lord, you say come. And he said, well, come. You see how quick it can happen. You're in that thing and you know that you need to respond to the Lord. It's like, righto, Lord, I'll do this if. And it's like, man, did I just say that? Did I just sing that song, bring the new wine out in me? Man, you people are brave this morning singing that song. Who brought that song in? Melissa. There. When you are frustrated and things aren't going so good, saying, you say, Melissa, did you make me say these words? And Melissa will say, I submitted it to the pastor's wife. She's in charge. Be wise, Melissa. Don't take the blame if you don't have to. Does that mean stepping out of our boat this morning? Is that what it means? What do we need? What is it that we actually need to change in our life? I mean, we're happy. Look, it's amazing how much we want to stay in a boat, even though we're not enjoying life, even though some things we got stuck in this rut, and it's like, yeah, I've got to do this and this and this and this. I mean, sometimes we like everything structured like that, but other times it's like, man, is this all there is to life? And next week I've got to do this, this and this, and I've got to do this, this and this. It's like, there's more to life, there's people. You know, when you start to think revival, you think different. You don't think actually about yourself. You actually don't think about yourself when you're thinking revival. You know, it's just, you know, when revival breaks out, you know, you can't just say, oh, well, you know, here's all of these new Christians and all of these babies, because that's what they are. And the baby wakes up in the middle of the night and starts screaming. And he's just like, oh, grow up. It's like, this is what you need to do. We say to people who become a Christian, they need to do this, this, and this. You say to all these news. So Ben and I have sat down and we talked about some of these things. Because he has to start now discipling and everything. So Lance has had a change in jobs. Lance was part of the team. He was a guy that was part of the team there. But things have changed now. Lance is up in Oxford. And so Lance is part now of Darfield Life Church. He says, Pastor Wayne, I need to be part of Darfield Life Church now. I'm up in Oxford. I'm farming there. So he was part of the team that was working. And so if you're a guy, if you're a guy, Jack, and you've got nothing to do on a Friday night, Ben would love to have you. You know, any of you other guys, because we've got to disciple these. They're babies. Yeah. 10 last week, give their hearts to the Lord. 7 for the first time. A lot of these kids, I said to Ben, just keep giving their hearts to the Lord. Some of them go outside and have a smoke and whatever, and he says, don't stand at the door and have a smoke. Go out where no one can see you. Go out by the side of the road and have a smoke. So hang on, Wayne, I've just got to go and tell this one off. He's smoking at the door. It's like, go over there. We don't want to look at you smoking. Thinking, good on you. And they'll come in and, you know, and it's like he loves them. He actually loves them. This week, 14. give their hearts to the Lord. How many were first time? Ten first timers. So that's 17 first timer decisions. That's not counting Storm Camp and a few others that he's been doing. So he's always getting, he had three the other week, another three give their hearts for the first time. You know, and so he's working away and just, but he's got to disciple these ones. You know, you've got to disciple people. It's hard work. You go down there and Rachel's down there and Julie's down there and, you know, and they're working away there and praying away and being there for these people. It's not easy. Sometimes they can be there till 11 o'clock at night. You know, just with these people, you know, and these kids are wanting this. It's like this is their home. It's like this is their patch and they're feeling this. It's like we want it. You know, I took some more couches and they got all the couches. They set up all the couches facing the stage. I was over there, I thought it was so funny. They've got them right up by the stage, you know, and they're lying out. Some of them have got four or five people on the couch and then one lies across the whole lot of them. It's just like they stack them on. They stack them on. I says to Ben, I've just given you another four couches and I've taken one away, so you've gained three. And that's maths. Am I preaching any good or am I just waffling? I'm doing good, right. So anyway, he's got these babies. Now think about this. See, we look at people and we say, you know, well, they need to do this, this, and this. They're babies. Yeah. They don't know anything about the Bible. They don't know scriptures. They don't know stories. I had what I call a wee mini revival down in, actually when I was talking to Michael, he said, that's not mini, that's major. But it wasn't a lot of numbers. But when your church isn't as big as some of these big churches, it is a major thing. And I just didn't have the support. Anyway, I've got all these men who come and say, they know nothing about the Bible. And they come and you're talking to them, they hound you and they stay with you and they're with you half the night and they're ringing you up all the time and you're down at their place and they're having a bad session and they're half drunk and whatever and you're 1 o'clock in the morning and they're wanting to talk and they're crying and they're whatever and it's just like, and you want to slap them and you want to say, come on, wake up and you shake them and you want all of this sort of stuff and it's like, but they're a baby, you don't shake the baby. And when the baby wakes up in the middle of the night and starts crying, you got to get up and feed it. Yeah. Usually the mum. Men don't have the bits the same. And it's just like we have to be a mum sometimes. And we got to feed the baby. We got to feed the baby. And it's like if it's got earache and if its teeth are coming through and if different things. And it's like, and it needs you. Yeah. And there's no use sitting there and just saying, well, tough. It's like, change some things in your life. These things, they just don't change because it's a baby. If you don't look after it, it dies. And people say, well, you know, they give the heart, then they wouldn't change. They got back into this, and you know, and so they lost their salvation. No, you didn't nurture them. You see, in all honesty, if you think I can disciple five people, it's just like, you need to go and see Leslie for some serious counseling. It's like you can't do five people. So we have 17 young people giving their hearts to the Lord. We actually got about 20 odd or more. There's about 50 of them coming along. It's like I'm saying to Ben, cap it. Don't you keep it. It's like we're going to try and keep it at 40, but he's struggling. It's like don't let it get too big. You can't let it get too big until your core gets there. You've got to grow your core. You've got to grow people. They've got to look after one another. They've got to start praying for one another. Get some prayer tunnels and some things going. And he's quite excited about some of these things. It's like, get these things working so they can start praying and ministering and caring for one another. Because they've got to be looked after. They've got to be talked to about things that really matter. They've got to put faith. And the only way faith grows is actually, this is what you're going through. So we need to pray to Jesus to help you in this. And some scripture says that you need to do this, this, and this. So that's what you need to do. It's like, yeah, but I don't know if that's going to work. It's like, you still got to do that. Regardless, you've got to do this, this, and this. And the steps. You know, I was just talking, I had to write another letter. I've got a man in jail at the moment and different things. And I'm working away with him. And I've told you the story. It's like, I did it's about 6 weeks before with him before he had to go back into jail. He had one of these bracelets. He wanted to come to church. He's still busting to come to his church. His mum cornered me in the supermarket the other day for a while. And Nikki says, we've got to go. It's just like, no, we just need to talk. This lady's got some stuff to say. You know, and he's really, it's like, you better be thanking Wayne for me, mum. You better be thanking Wayne for me. She says, have you been thanking? It's just like, no. just like she said, I'm here today to say thank you. And it's like, I'm working away, but I says to this guy, do you want to remain a baby? He's about 30. He says, no. I says, right. We're not going to lay the foundation again for Christianity. Not laying again this foundation, Paul says. So we're going to get this thing right because we don't want to go over this and over this and over this. It's like, do you really want Jesus? Yes. Okay, it's going to cost you some things. Do you really want Jesus? Yes, it's going to cost some things. Are you prepared to do this, this, and this? Yes. Are you prepared to do this, this, and this? Yes. Do you want to be a baby? No. Well, you're going to have to do this, this, and this. Yes, I want to do this, this, and this. It's like, and I rammed it in, and I rammed it in, and I rammed it in. It's just like, you understand what I'm saying? Because I'm not coming back here in 6 weeks' time. Well, now, when you get out of jail and say, let's start again. It's like, no, we're going forward. We're going forward. We don't want to be a baby. It's like, I've sat down with lots of people like you. I can see you're a good man, but we've got to go forward. It's like, and so I've got to help him and show him. Now, the amount of time and energy it takes to do that and visit people and go through things with that, it takes up a lot of your time. And if you're working and you've got a job and you've got one person to disciple, and I ring you up and say, can you go and see so-and-so? You need to go and see so-and-so because somebody needs to get to that person and work with them. It's like, yeah, I don't know if I want that. I've got this, this, and this on. It's like, let the baby die. That's revival. I asked Michael, I said, Michael, you need to say to the people when you're talking about your revival, how many people you got saved. So they had, what did they have? About 500 souls got saved, wham, and lower hut in this revival over a few weeks. And they were just going, they'd do about 3 or 4 nights a week. Every night, these people coming out. He says, in that first half of that session like that, all of those souls basically said we lost. Why save people and get all say, well, we've got revival and whatever, when actually you're not looking after anybody? Why screw people up and say, yeah, I found Jesus, but then it really wasn't the answer. They got a taste of it, whatever, and fell away and different things. Because nobody wants the job of looking after, because it's like, oh, yeah, but I want God to do all this for me. It's like, well, you're a baby. Suck your thumb. Anyone want to suck their thumb this morning? Am I still preaching okay? It's like, but I'm being real. It's like, see, sometimes we're actually sinking, but we don't know. And the reason that we start sinking, because I just got to cut this short, is because we're looking at everything else other than Jesus. You see, fear come in. Fear come in. When he looked at the storm, he became afraid. When you look at your circumstance and things going, there's a lot of uncertainty in life. In fact, there's nothing certain outside of Jesus Christ. And if you're sitting down talking to people, they don't have certainty. So they try to build an infrastructure around them. They try to build an asset base or a financial base or a business base. They try to build something around their life so that they feel secure and feel that they have something to fall back on. And it's like, this isn't going to change. I can want about a bank on this. But things change. Suddenly things change, business things change, people disappear, people leave, go. Things just suddenly happen and it's like, wow, things aren't working out the way I thought they're going to work out. There's nothing certain other than God is God. There is coming a day of judgment. Hell and heaven do exist. There is a heaven. There is a hell. There is a devil. And God is real. There's some things that are absolutes. And we have to understand, man, I've mucked up this word. You know, it's like we have to understand that if we really want to make a difference, we can't be focusing on these things. There's some things don't really matter in life. In fact, there's a lot that don't matter in life. I have a scripture this morning, so I'll read it. We're just going to read this scripture. It's in Matthew. I read the scripture and read the scripture and read the scripture when I was a young teenager, middle teenager, middle something, older teenager anyway. I was going for Jesus. And I really let this sink into me, eh? Just like, man, and I want you to get a hold of this morning. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19. Don't store up for yourself treasures in heaven. On earth, sorry. Where moths eat. I better say that again. Just for Jade. Don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them and where thieves break in and steal. store your treasures in heaven where moth and rust does not destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, the desires of your heart will be there also. Wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. Your heart says, chase this. Your eye is a lamp that provides light to your whole body. Your eye is. We're going to talk about focus. What are you looking at, Peter? What are you focusing on? Whatever you're focusing on, that comes into your whole body. The eye is. And when your eye is good, your whole body is full of light. The eye is our focus. It reveals what we are looking at and consumed by. This is what I'm focused on. You can say, I really love the Lord, but you're focusing on something else. You say, I'm here and you're worshiping God. You got your hands up and you're thinking, dirty rat, I'm going to get him when I get home. Or you might be thinking, things aren't going too good in my life at the moment. Da da da. It's like, and there must have been a fair bit of that happening this morning because we were worshiping very quiet. I'm sitting there, I was going to go up to my wife and going to say to her, are you going to push through? We're going to do something or are we just going to get up and preach? That's what I was going to say this morning. I thought, I better not be rude. It's like we were just fluffing along this morning. That's because our hearts were somewhere else. And we love the Lord. It's not saying we don't love the Lord. We love the Lord, but really, where are we? Where are we pushing through? And we've got to really push through sometimes. And it's not that we're always on, but there's enough of us here that have got that someone each day should be able to have some gumption and some go. It's like, I'm going through. I need to let out a yell. I need to come up here, do a dance, do a somersault, prophesy, shout out something, declare something, kick the stage, thump the stage, throw some water in the air, do something, start crying, start interceding, start doing something. You have to be able to do that. And when a church starts to think like that, you go somewhere. You've got to be able to have that. But when your eye is bad and your whole body is filled with darkness, and if that light you think you have is actually darkness, if that light you think you have is actually darkness. See, this is when we start to sink. When that light you think, sometimes you know I love the Lord, and we think we're all focused and like that, but actually we're looking at something else. So our eye isn't filled with light, but we're telling ourselves, no, I really love the Lord. But if that light you think you have is filled with darkness, then how deep that darkness is. Or if our eye is focused on earthly treasures, life storms, fears, uncertainty, then those things become the darkness that stops us from focusing on the truth that is God's word. You see, sometimes you say, no, I'm, and you're not. You're not actually coping. You're thinking about, I've got to do this, this, and this. And what would the Lord be saying right now? He would say, you need to draw aside and have a talk to me. What's the Father's will? What is he actually saying? It's like, he's saying, oh, we need to move on from here. We need to go to this. We need to do this. And all the people come looking for Jesus. And Jesus said, no, I'm not coming to pray for you today. My Father said, I'm going to the next town. You know, sometimes God's saying, you need to move on for some things and think about some other things. Forget about that. Let's go to verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for you will hate the one and love the other. You'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Now, this is where it gets interesting. That is why I tell you not to worry. Say worry. Worry. That's why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. Whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear, isn't life more than food and your body and more than clothing? For some people, the answer is no. For most people, the answer is no. And that's why we're sinking. Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. Think about that. Look at the birds. They don't. See, you got to let this sink into your heart. You got to meditate. You got to chew on this and chew on this. Today we're going to be a cow. We're going to chew on some things and let it go down. Bring it up. Chew. Down. Chew. Down. And then we're going to have some milk to give to our babies. You, it says, aren't you more valuable to them than they are? Now think about that. You have to know you are more valuable to God than all the birds, all the plants, all the things that are going on in this world. And he says, look at all of them. They don't have to sow, do whatever. And I look after them all. Aren't you more valuable? If we're more valuable and he looks after all of them and we know he looks after us, it's like, yeah, but can I really trust you with this, Lord? You see, in our heart, we're not. This is why we have to listen to Scripture. We focus on Scripture. When we're looking at Jesus, when we're stepping out of the boat, we're looking at Scriptures like this. This is what we focus on. It's like, okay, let's read it. So we read it. Aren't you more valuable to him than they are? It's one of the times when we need to believe the Scriptures to know and to understand our value or how valuable we are to God. Aren't you more valuable to me than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. And we sit there and say, well, I've got to buy the clothing. Clothes, whatever. You know, it's just like, you know, kids can't clothe themselves and whatever. We know all of that. But we stress over stuff. It's like, if you look at everybody, we all got to get around and get clothing. But does our clothing have to be, is this our image? My kids are the smartest dressed and whatever. I don't want people to think I'm a hopeless mum or a hopeless dad or that I'm not providing for my kids and my kids have to go to this and they have to go to this. They have to go to this. Man, life's hard. It's just running around like this all the time. It's just like, man, because I got this day and I got this on and I got this on. It's just like, who are you serving and what are you serving? Why are you doing all this? Oh, you know, my kids really need to know that I really love them. And it's like, what's your heart saying? Do your kids know? My kids never ever said to me, thank you, Dad, for the wonderful bed, the wonderful bedroom, the wonderful all of these other things that I'm sweating away trying to build. You know, they'll tell you about the good times when we're away out going down the river and I'm trying to drown them. They'll tell you about that. They'll tell you about that. They'll say, Dad, you know, I'm going to get back in a canoe with you. But they'll tell you about that, even if they didn't like it. But they won't tell you about, yeah, Dad built us on a bedroom or a bathroom and then we tore the thing to bits because we didn't appreciate it. Got our feet on the wall and tore the rails off the wall and because we thought they were there for to swing on. Even though Dad put lots of money and different things on that. And so he made us stand outside and brush our teeth in the freezing cold and wash ourselves and everything else. It's like, you're not going in the bathroom anymore. They won't say, oh, every time Dad was on the toilet, we wanted to go, so he went and put another toilet in, so we had two toilets. They don't tell you about all that stuff. They tell you about the things that have meaning to them. But we run around, it's like, why do we do that? See, I'm more interested in giving my children an inheritance. And my inheritance is in heaven. That's the thing that really matters. And sometimes we think by chasing all of these demands and things, it's like, then they'll love me and they'll appreciate you. It's not. They're looking for, that's what I say to Ben. Ben, these kids are looking for you to give them something. That people, kids won't say we're looking for boundaries, but they want to. It's like, I can see that over there now, the station, that's their home. I'm telling you. And that's their church. I'm in there and I can say it. I can see it. It's like they set everything up there and there, whatever. They got all this stuff going on. It's just like, and they love it. It's like, this is our patch. You're going to come into our patch. They're telling us, like, behave yourself. It's like, they know. It's like, if you do that, we're not going to lose this because of you. It's like, there is ownership. And it's like, and Ben loves them. But he's got these rules there. And it's like, come on, guys. This is what we're going to do. And he's got a team that are there working away with them. And your kids, they either know you love them or they don't. Yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautiful as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and then thrown into the fire tomorrow, He will certainly care for you. Now, you've got to let that sit in your heart. Will God really care for me? Will He? Why do you have so little faith? What caused Peter? What did Jesus say to Peter? Oh, yeah, why did you doubt, Peter? Where was your faith? Is he sinking? Why? Because he was more focused on all of these other things, the storm. He was more focused on the clothing, having all the things that need to be, getting his kids to everything, sorting out his family and his finances, running around, all of the stuff. He's focusing on that. And here was all these other people. And Jesus is saying, you know, there's some other things I want you to do, Peter. There's some other people. And it's like, yeah, but I've got all this other stuff. And he's sinking. Because he's more... It's like, because he was selfish. He started to sink. Man, I'm a good preacher. Isn't that the same exact words you see that Jesus saying? I'll move on. It's verse 31. So don't worry about these things saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we fear? Wear. Why do we say these things? Why, like, we're saying, well, it's not really like that. It is like that. And I know what it's like to be trapped like that. And when your kids grow up, then we have other things. And it's like, well, I need to do this, and I need to go and do this. It's like, no, you don't. Did my kids miss out, Jay? Were you hard done by and missed out? And you looked at all these people, they had good clothes and great holidays and flash cars. And you sit there and you're looking at them thinking, come on, Dad, get your act together. Why don't we have all this money? A muesli bar and her lunch. Yeah, cut the sandwiches different. There was a time in my life where I had to weigh up, do I buy seeds and put them in the garden and wait 3 months for them to grow, or do I buy some bread? Same price, packet of seeds or a loaf of bread. And I was just putting everything into farming, and you just like, and even though it was secure, it's like you don't have this money to throw around. You know, and it's just, and you're working away. It's just like, but I always says to Nikki, we'll be warm. We'll stay warm and we'll have food on the table. So that's just what I aimed at in life. You know, and serve God. Serve God all the time. Serve God at the time. And we're always racing around with everybody else. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your Heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Your Heavenly Father already knows all of your needs. But these things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. See, sometimes we're sinking because of unbelief. Yeah, but I love God and I go to church and I believe. Yet there's unbelief sits in their heart because we feel that we have to battle the storm. We're rowing against the storm. We're fighting the storm. It's like, no, we've got to get this done. We've got to provide. We've got to do this. We've got to do this. We've got to sort this out. We've got to keep this. And we're battling the storm. And Jesus is saying, I actually want you to come out of that, away from that. I want you to shift your focus on the things that really matter. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and He will give you what? Everything you need. Yeah, but I want. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Tomorrow will. It's like you're living today. So let's give to God what we're dealing with today. And let's not worry about tomorrow. Today's trouble is enough for today. These scriptures are saying that we have all of these troubles and worries that are there for us all the time. Each day has troubles. Jesus is saying, so don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will have its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Jesus is saying, today you will have troubles. What was Peter's problem? He was out. The disciples were out in the middle of the lake and they were in trouble. And Jesus says, don't worry about tomorrow. Its troubles are enough for then. today's trouble. So he's saying, I know you're going through things. I know you're going to have to face things. You're going to have circumstances that are contrary to you. You're going to have to deal with things. You've got to make decisions today. And you say, yeah, I've got a plan for tomorrow. So now forget about tomorrow. You've got trouble today. And we need to respond to Jesus. And Jesus is saying, it's okay. Take courage. I'm here. Take courage today. I'm here. This is, read the scripture. Learn it off by heart if you like, this passage. Just read it. If you did this every month, just read this passage for every month and let it sink in. Okay, God wants to supply. He said he'll supply. I don't have to worry about this, or this. It's just like he says that I can, that he loves me more than this, and he loves me more than these. And he knows that all these people have these things and this, but he says, look, if you seek all of me first, it's just like I'll give you all of this stuff. Let it sink in your heart. And finishing, Jesus has come this morning. Let's stand. He's giving us an invitation to step out of the boat. To step out of our circumstances this morning. Maybe you're sinking this morning and God is reaching out his hand to you to lift you. Maybe you don't even know Jesus that well. Maybe you thought you did. Jesus has an answer for you this morning. Maybe you're doubting. Maybe you're trying to serve two desires, two masters. Maybe you feel your situation is similar to Peter's and you're battling away, going nowhere. Jesus is saying, come this morning. He's saying, step out of the boat this morning. What has distracted us this morning? What's causing us to sink? Am I sinking this morning? Maybe you thought you were doing all right. Maybe you're looking and thinking, maybe I'm not doing as well as I thought I was. What is my focus? What am I wrestling with? What am I fearful of? Barbara talked about this at communion. Now we've got to overcome some things, uncertainties and fears. What are we struggling with this morning? The invitation has come. Father, this morning, we're hearing your words this morning. Lord, we're shifting our focus this morning. We're shifting our focus this morning. Back to you. We're lifting up our eyes this morning and we can see some mess around us. I can see it this morning. People, I can see all of this stuff all around. It's like a disturbance and stuff going all around, and it's like I see this light with these people. It's like almost on an island, actually. It's just like, and in the darkness I can see all the stuff going on around. It's like the Lord is saying there's all this stuff going on around in some of your lives. Stuff in family, stuff in your life, stuff in your marriage, stuff in your work and in your business. Uncertainty. But we're focusing this morning. We're focusing this morning on the Lord. Look to Him. We see you, Jesus. Lift your eyes this morning and I can feel hearts crying out this morning. Some of you are really crying out this morning, saying, Lord, I'm hearing this, and it's like I really want you. I can feel this morning some of you really reaching out right now. I can feel like the pain inside that's reaching out saying, I really need you, Lord. You've been suppressing some things, but we're reaching out this morning. It's like we're lifting our eyes. It's like we're not looking at these things. It's like, yeah, I haven't been taking my responsibilities quite the way I should have been. It's like I'm not being the leader and the example that I need to be. Thank you, Jesus. He's saying, come this morning. Come this morning. Come this morning. Come this morning. Step out with the boat. We're stepping out of the boat. We're surrendering. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, let your love flood in this morning. Let your love come in and heal this morning. Lord, let your love come in, Lord, and bring a new strength into our hearts. Lord, flood our hearts. Lord, let our lives be refreshed. Let our eyes be full of light, of hope, of vision, of purpose. Lord, we can see, Lord, that we're coming around the corner. It's like, I'm not going this way anymore. I'm going to you. I'm focusing on you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Lord, we surrender.